Hello. Hope everyone is doing well today. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Health Southern Oregon. When we talk about health, we cannot discuss complete health without talking about our mental health. On this program, we highlight mental health issues in our community and ways we can improve mental health for everyone. Over the next few episodes, we'll be finding out about mental health services in our community. And today, we have Sarah Small with us, a community engagement and development manager, big title there, with Options for Southern Oregon. So good morning, Sarah. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your background first and your work with Options Southern Oregon. Then we'll jump into what Options does.
All right. Well, I grew up in Northern California, and I ended up moving to Scotland and doing my bachelor's degree in herbal medicine. Random, I know. And then I moved back to the U.S. and pursued a master's in community psychology. And once I was done with that degree, or nearing the end of that degree, I managed to find a job with Options for Southern Oregon and moved up here. I was the development associate at that time, so mainly fundraising. But my role has since evolved to be more kind of community outreach and community engagement, as well as doing still some fundraising.
Okay. Excellent. So we're trying to find out about the mental health services provided in our area and locating services when we need them for ourselves or our loved ones can be challenging. So we hope this information will help with that search. So tell us about Options of Southern Oregon. What is the range of mental health services that Options provides?
Well, Options for Southern Oregon is one of the largest providers of mental health and addiction services within Southern Oregon. We call ourselves a behavioral health center rather than a mental health center. So okay. That encompasses both of those issues. We provide a wide range of services. So we have therapy, we have medication management, that type of thing, which is pretty standard. We also have things like case management and skills training. So if a person needs help accessing any entitlements, getting an ID, figuring out how to navigate the healthcare system, our case managers can help with that. If somebody needs help with kind of practical things in life that they haven't been able to really figure out, our skills trainers can help with that. And that's a really case-by-case basis. We also have a wide variety of children and family services. So we have a wraparound program that is designed for kiddos and their families who are involved in multiple systems. So maybe have an IEP, maybe have involvement with DHS, that type of thing. And it's really around coordinated care. We also have our primary care in two of our main clinics, because we know that you can't have mental health without physical health, and you can't have physical health without mental health.
There you go.
So making sure that we co-locate those in a place where our clients are already accessing services for kind of that warm handoff.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have two pharmacies with both of those primary care clinics within our main clinics.
Uh-huh.
And we also do dental screenings, again, because we know that whole health care is really what we're looking
mm-hmm.
for.
Yep, that's right. Huh, interesting. Okay. So in that myriad of services, do you offer mental health evaluations and diagnoses? Can someone, if there's symptoms going on and a person doesn't know if they have something or if it's something minor or serious, do you have diagnostic services?
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
That's part of the...
Absolutely. Actually, the main way that individuals access our services is through something called open access, which is really essentially a walk-in same-day assessment. So if somebody is interested in services or isn't really feeling that great mentally and isn't sure, you know, what's going on, they can come physically into our clinics, and get an evaluation that same day. All the paperwork, eligibility, all of that kind of stuff is done in that initial assessment. Usually takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then a follow-up appointment is scheduled after that.
Okay.
Once someone's in treatment or enrolled in services, then they're available, they're open to all of our various treatment services, including things like supported employment to ensure that folks have a competitive wage and can successfully integrate into, you know, society and mm-hmm. our community in a meaningful way.
Yeah, find a way to support themselves. Okay, super. So who is eligible for these services, and how would they access them? I heard you say you can just walk in, but are there eligibility requirements, or who is actually eligible to get them?
The vast majority of our clients are on OHP. And that, because we are in a state that has an expanded OHP, we can serve a lot of people in terms of within that program.
And so just to be clear, I want to make sure people understand
Oregon Health Plan.
Oregon Health Plan, and those are expanded Medicaid services,
correct.
Right?
Okay. Yes, yes, sorry.
No, I just want to make sure people know about that. That's good.
Yeah. We also are able to serve veterans as well.
Okay.
And we have a sliding scale fee for individuals who might not be able to be eligible for OHP or maybe are without, they're underinsured. So we have a schedule of that, of those fees on our website. In that initial open access appointment, all eligibility is determined kind of right then and there, unless there are some questions that, you know, somebody needs to go back and look into further. It is kind of case by case, and we predominantly do prioritize Oregon Health Plan members, but we do try and make sure that our services are available to anybody.
Right. So if you have a lower income or, like you said, marginally insured or uninsured, but aren't a part of the Oregon Health Plan, you might still be able to find services
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. How long does it typically take, let's say, from intake, someone walks in, to beginning services? How long is that wait usually?
That is dependent on how many
People are.
How many people?
So it varies.
Yeah, it does vary. Unfortunately, I wish I could give you a distinct answer, but
we'll say minimum to maximum, just so people had an expectation. Maybe
The number that I often hear is like 10 days, business days,
couple weeks.
But again, it depends on kind of what the need is, and we are in an area where it is difficult to access mental health services and providers are limited. So we prioritize getting really great quality candidates and employees. And so we're constantly recruiting and we're constantly needing.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on Jefferson Exchange. I'm Audra Hollenbeck with NAMI Southern Oregon. And we're speaking today with Sarah Small, a Community Engagement and Development Manager with Options for Southern Oregon, and about what services they offer there. So I love that you talked about your providers. What is the range of credentials that you have there?
We have a wide range. So we have obviously our QMHPs, qualified mental health professionals, that you know, our therapists, our psychiatrists. We have medical doctors as well. We have QMHAs, which are
qualified mental health associates.
Yep. Okay. And those often are kind of our case managers, our skills trainers, anybody who's been working within the mental health care field for a while but isn't necessarily credentialed. So that's another level. And then we have our peer support specialists. So peers, individuals who have a lived experience of mental health or substance use challenge and who have been in a period of recovery and have gone through certain certifications. We have peers that are co-located at various agencies. We have peers in almost every single one of our programs because the peer experience offers something completely different than talking to a therapist, right? You can connect on a deeper level. And so we're just really grateful for the experiences that they have and for what they bring to the table. And then we obviously have our support staff and things like that. But
And what about psychiatrists? Do you have psychiatrists with you?
Yes.
So you have all the way medical, psychiatric.
We have our ABA program as well, our Applied Behavioral Analysis. That is our program specifically for individuals, usually kids, who have autism. That's a kind of a different field. And then we also have several residential treatment facilities. So again, that's a different kind of layer. We're pretty large within our reach in terms of mental health and substance use treatment services.
It does sound pretty comprehensive. So those residential services, is that something that is usually offered to people who have been a part of the process, though? So they've gone through the assessment, they maybe have a therapist, or is that how people get into those residential services?
It's usually like a step down, rather. So a step down or a step up, depending on the need.
So I was going to ask about your association with the behavior health unit at the hospital. Maybe this is a good time to talk about how that works. What is your relationship with them, or how do you interact with them?
We work with Asante to be able to provide services at the hospital. In my role, I don't really have a great answer to that. I wish I could give you a more detailed answer, but that is not something that I currently do in my role.
I'm imagining it might depend on if someone's already on the Oregon Health Plan and a client of yours, that would probably be more of a smoother interaction.
Yeah, we have care coordination for instances like that. Uh-huh. So we have specific individuals who kind of track who's at the hospital. Uh-huh. And then, you know, we'll get notification when somebody is leaving and make sure that we're there to provide that care.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
okay.
Same thing with emergency rooms as well.
Okay, great. Excellent. So what are some good questions that people should ask when they're coming in to find services? Like, what do you want people to ask of you guys?
Well, what services do we offer? Mm-hmm. You know, when we think about mental health services, the things that often come to mind are therapy and medication, right? Mm-hmm. And so somebody might walk into our clinics and think that that's all we offer.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, what is it that you guys can provide that will help me?
Right. So it's looking at also what are lifestyle things like, or are broader things about your living situation. Mm-hmm. You can ask for, like, is this something that you might be able to get help with as well?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah. Then the other thing's kind of practical. You know, what are your hours? You know, how is confidentiality handled? Mm-hmm. All those questions that, you know, make it difficult for somebody to want to engage in mm-hmm. services. Mm-hmm. You know, it's better to ask about that.
Mm-hmm. You guys have a website. I wanted to ask about your locations, because mm-hmm. I know you guys operate in Josephine County and Jackson County. So where are your locations and what's your website so people can find out more and get, you know, like if they want to find out the phone number to call, that sort of thing. That was another thing I wanted to ask. You can also call in to get an appointment too, right?
You can. Yeah, you can. Traditionally, individuals access services through open access. Mm-hmm. But if there's a reason that isn't something that's accessible for that individual needing services, then there can be an open access call that's a phone call.
Okay.
And we provide services also telehealth through Zoom, that type of thing.
Okay. Okay, excellent. So locations and how do they find you?
Yeah, let me do our website first. So we have our website, which is optionsonline.org. That has all of our locations and hours on it under the locations tab. We have a large facility here in Medford. That's our Bryson Center. Mm-hmm. That's on Beatty Street. We have in Jackson County, we also have two outpatient SUD, substance use disorders treatment services, through our program called Colpia. That one in Ashland and one in Medford.
Mm-hmm.
We have an adult facility in Grants Pass, as well as a child and family services in Grants Pass. And we have an outpatient kind of all-inclusive clinic in Cave Junction.
Oh, okay.
So those are our main big things. We also have kind of like Colpia here in Jackson County, in Josephine County, we have a program called Choices. That's our SUD outpatient services in Grants Pass. They run also a resource center that's called The Hub, mm-hmm. which is also in Grants Pass.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. So there's lots of places to find you.
Absolutely. And we're also co-located in a lot of different organizations like DHS, like Birch Grove.
Uh-huh.
We're in schools. We're in the police department in Grants Pass.
Oh,
so
okay.
Lots of different ones.
Okay. Well, that's great. So are there any suggestions you would have for supporters of people who are helping someone who might have a mental health condition and they're coming along with you? Just kind of quickly, what would you recommend to somebody who is supporting someone with a mental health condition that might need to get treatment?
Patience.
And perseverance, maybe.
Patience and perseverance. Yeah. You know, the average amount of time it takes for somebody to enter into treatment, and this is a national statistic, is 10 years. And so as someone who is a loved one, it can be really hard to watch that process. Mm-hmm. But the best thing that we can do as loved ones is to continue to support them with practical things, you know.
Mm-hmm. So help them get through until they can get in and get the treatment that works for them.
Yeah, and educate yourself around, you know, what's going on and get some support for yourself as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Sarah. You can find more information about NAMI Southern Oregon at our website, namisouthernoregon.org, or email us at info@namisouthernoregon, because speaking of support, we offer support groups, classes, advocacy opportunities in our community. So it's a place where you can get educated and support for if you are a person with a mental health condition or a supporter. This has been Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck. You can find this and other interviews at thejeffexchange.org or subscribe to this podcast at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.